This evening, I'm allowing my nephew, Jonathan Fuller, to preach. I allowed Samuel to preach this morning, and I was greatly blessed in my own soul hearing the word preached this morning. Jonathan is headed to college. He graduated this past May, and we're thankful for his heart and desire to serve the Lord someday. And so he's going to be preaching this evening from the book of Colossians, right? Samuel was threatening to preach out of Colossians 3 this morning just to see what he would end up doing here this evening, but he's going to be preaching out of Colossians here this evening, so come on up, Jonathan.
Well, it's great to be here with you guys this evening. It's great to see some familiar faces, and then great to see some new people, meet some new people this morning, and I trust throughout this week I'll be able to meet some others of you that I haven't met. If you haven't met me yet, my name is Jonathan. Or as everyone else is saying, my name is Boogie, so you're welcome to call me whatever you want. And I'm very thankful for Uncle Keith letting me preach. He had the option between Samuel and me, and he chose for the evening service the better-looking nephew. So, just messing. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, the book of Colossians in chapter 3. In just a minute, we'll be looking together at verse 1. One recent study of the income and giving patterns of evangelical Christians revealed that those that claim to believe the gospel on average give 1.8% of their income to any Christian cause of any kind. The dollar figure matches what Americans spend on Christmas. The amount of money that is going specifically to mission causes is the same amount Americans spend on dieting programs. And the amount of money going to unreached people groups matches what Americans spend on Halloween costumes for their pets. And it's hard to even know how do you respond to such mind-boggling statistics. I think one thing we can safely say is that many Christians aren't living out the values they claim to hold. We say we believe in an eternal heaven and an eternal hell. We say we believe in a gospel that must be proclaimed, that must be embraced by saving faith. And we say we believe in a gospel that must be proclaimed before it can be believed. But yet, with all of what we say we believe, our priorities are communicating something different. And this is where the exhortation of Colossians 3 is especially needed. And it's not just the way we spend our money that's communicating something different. It's the focus of our time and energy and goals that are communicating something different than what we profess. And this is where the exhortation of Colossians 3 is especially needed. In the first two chapters of this book, the Apostle Paul has been pointing to the believer's blessings in union with Christ. And now in chapter 3, Paul moves to exhorting them to a life consistent with that position. Let's read verses 1 and 2 of Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. This evening we want to explore three truths from this text that will strengthen us to live lives consistent with our professed beliefs. Three truths that will encourage us to live lives consistent with our professed beliefs. And the first truth that we want to look at is that a new life with Christ, with new values, is not just potential, but real. If you look at verse 1, the first word of this verse is if. And the word if is not, it's not a question mark. We just mentioned it, but in the first two chapters, the Apostle Paul has fully established the truth that every believer has already been united to Christ by his death, so that Christ's death on the cross has brought about their death to sin, and Christ's resurrection from the grave has brought about their already existing new life in Christ. And right here in verse 3, Paul confirms he is still thinking in those terms when it says, you have died and your life is hid with Christ. And eternal life is not something that a believer gets when he physically dies and goes to heaven. Eternal life is at the moment of salvation. Eternal life, real new life in Christ with new vital signs of life, is something when every believer gets when by faith they are united with the death and resurrection of Christ. One pastor related the testimonies of two sisters who had enjoyed attending dances and wild parties. After they were saved, they received an invitation to one of these parties, and they sent their RSVP back in these words: "We regret that we cannot attend because we recently died." They definitely caught the reality of this truth and acted on it. And knowing our position and that at the moment of salvation, we have real new life, knowing our position and knowing that the real life, knowing that the new life is real and not just potential, that will strengthen all of us to live out the values we claim to hold. Then as we go on in verse 1, we encounter a second truth. And that is that there is a battle that has to be fought. There is still a battle that has to be fought. Various word studies indicate that the word translated here, seek, has the idea of striving for something earnestly. New life in Christ changes the whole direction of my life, but that doesn't mean there won't be any more battles. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. And Paul wasn't telling Timothy to get saved. No, Paul was telling Timothy, "Timothy, get a grip on eternity. Live with eternity in view. Live with eternal values." Paul again acknowledged that it would be a battle. It would be a battle to live with eternity in view. But Paul is telling Timothy, this is a good and a noble battle to fight. And the specific target of this striving here in verse 1 is actually not defined. He just exhorts us to seek those things which are above. And if you say, so what are those things? Well, he doesn't really give a list. And it seems that Paul assumes that it isn't hard for people united to Christ to figure it out, because it's the honor and glory of God from a life lived consecrated to Him. And some of those heavenly things are the lives and eternal souls of others we invest in for the gospel's sake. I really enjoy playing competitive sports. Growing up, I played soccer, baseball, football, basketball. All my brothers played all those sports with me. And I really enjoy playing competitive sports. I like the competition. I like the opportunity to spend time with my dad and brothers. Recently, we've been going and playing golf together. We've really enjoyed that. But I think I could honestly say that much of my drive to play competitive sports and much of my drive to compete at a high level was for the sake of having a credible platform, not only with my teammates, but even coaches, but especially with younger guys in the community that looked up to me. But I also know what it was like to get in the middle of a basketball game or football game. And for that focus of, okay, this is a platform for ministry, that focus to get completely off and even multiple days at a time, for that focus to get on my success, my desires, my advancement, my fame. And there was a battle in my own mind and heart that had to be fought. And Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, you have to battle to live with eternal values, to battle to live with eternity in view. And for everyone in here, you are all going to face battles over and over again. And the battle of living with eternity in view is one that all of us are going to face. And then a passage like this that exhorts us to earnestly seek those things above assumes that there will be a battle. And then notice the third truth in verse 2. When we are told to set our affection on things above, we learn that the focus of our attention will be the key to winning the battle, to live out our profession. The focus of our attention will be the key to winning the battle to live out our profession. To set your affection in verse 2 means to do something on purpose, to choose to direct your attention in a certain place. And all the word students say that the word translated here, affection, has more to do with our mind rather than our emotions. Direct your minds to focus on things above. That's the idea here. And if we are going to win the battle to live with heavenly values, you're going to have to, on purpose, give the attention of your mind to being reminded what is of true value in light of eternity. And in one way, the applications, it can seem so simple and so obvious. But you just will not consistently win the battle to live out what you profess to believe if you are not daily occupied with the reading and meditating on the Word of God. You cannot win the battle if you are not regularly exposed to preaching that challenges you to look to eternal values. Reading the biographies of missionaries of the past, choosing to stay up to date and praying for missionaries your church partners with, making the time to stay engaged in outreach-oriented ministries with your church, giving of whatever financial means necessary to give to the lost. And these are all ways that you can choose to make heavenly things and heavenly values the focus of your attention. And doing these things on purpose is a key to winning the battle to live out the values that we profess to believe. When Rosalind Bell Smith was 19, she began to pray that if the Lord wanted her to get married, He would lead her to someone that was wholly given up to Christ and His service. A couple of years later, Jonathan Goforth asked Rosalind to be his wife and join him in his pursuit of serving as missionaries in China. And I'm not saying I recommend this, but Jonathan also asked Rosalind if she would mind not having an engagement ring right away because he wanted to use all of the money he had towards purchasing Chinese gospel literature. Rosalind gasped inwardly, as you might imagine, before also inwardly saying, "This is the very kind of man I prayed for." And she had a chance to live out what she professed to value. If you are a true believer in Christ, you have new life with new values. That doesn't mean there will never be a battle to live with heavenly priorities. But in the strength of your position in Christ, while being aware of the battle, focus your attention on heavenly realities and live out what you profess to believe.
Thinking that in light of even what we've been talking about in Sunday morning's Ecclesiastes, that people live life under the sun, as if this is it. This life, everything it has, that's it. And we've been talking about the fact that we live life looking beyond the sun, living life with God under the sun, that we are setting our affection on Him as we go about our daily tasks, our daily events, our daily priorities. God has our focus. And so that passage is a vital passage with Old Testament parts to it and then New Testament implications. And so it was a challenge to us all. So let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer here. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We so easily have many things that take priority in our lives, and we allow those to cloud out what our most important thing is just simply to set our affection, set our mind on things above. That the things of this life that may so easily upset us are temporary. The prizes and the goals that we might achieve here in this life are temporary in satisfaction. But when we live our life for You, there are many things that we will accomplish in this life, this present time, that bring you great glory and bring us eternal satisfaction. And so, Lord, help us to gain this simple thought. Though, as mentioned, it is a battle for each one of us because our flesh is so easily swayed by the importance of the here and now and time that we are in. And so, Lord, help us to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And so, Lord, we thank you for the challenge. May we live it out even with all the activity that goes on this week, that we are looking to you and heavenly things, and those things being the most important thing. And may that be our goal, and this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.